health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 5th. And look at that, I got the month right on the West Coast, and October the 6th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. I sure did. I was down the rabbit hole. The rabbits were gone. Found out a lot of really interesting information that just expands all of the research that's come forth in the past week with myself and all of my guests, and even with the talk show hosts on other shows that I was on last week. It was a busy week last week, and I have every indication that this week is going to be just as busy. Like to welcome all the folks that are listening on Wind Talkers radio network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. If you listen to those two networks today, then you heard me on Drew Raines, A Marine's Disquisition, and we talked about some of what we're going to be talking about tonight with our guest. Before I bring him on, however, I would like to draw your attention to something which is very positive and uplifting, and I encourage you to go to Ken Adachi's website, click on his current news page, and look for this article, Everything is Okay, Street Satire, A Megaphone, and the Power of Love. Danny Shine and Charlie Veitch Reconstruct Humanity in the Heart of London. And this is written by Ken Adachi. Quoting the article now, I'm very grateful to Don Nikoloff for forwarding to me an email and a YouTube link this morning from a listener to Don's radio show named Ellen. In fact, I'm going to pause here for a moment and thank Ellen, who is in Europe, and she was kind enough to send me a great link to some absolutely fantastic video, candid video shots, which I'm going to describe to you right now. So my hat's off to Ellen. And you'll hear what Ken has to say also. Back to the article. Her note to Don simply read, if you have the time, check this out. It's great. That video link and others from the same source were more than great. They were nothing short of extraordinary and inspiring. Two men, Charlie Veitch and Danny Shine, take on the New World Order head on and confront the issues of thought control, suppression of free speech, the intimidation, coercion, and obey mentality foisted upon citizens by authoritarian police or security guards dressed up to look like policemen, and the mockery of human values embraced by their corporate manipulators and propaganda media outlets, all exposed with enormous panache and conviction. Of the two, Danny Shine is the greater satirist and wit. He skillfully combines satire, spoof, humor, and a desire to hug people to remind them of their humanity and heart-centered natures, which few can resist. Of those who do, they clearly display the characteristic emotional armoring which Wilhelm Reich described so many decades ago, the walling off of the emotional body from the mental body and the withdrawal of the heart song. These guys are an incredible breath of fresh air. I had many things to do today, but I found myself glued to the computer screen for most of the afternoon viewing their YouTube video vignettes. You'll understand my enthusiasm once you begin watching the videos yourself. Their use of a megaphone to address passers-by in a public arena allows them to virtually command the attention of all within hearing. This is most amazing when seen in the presence of milling policemen who are chided by Danny over the megaphone for attempting to stop him from using it when he makes it abundantly clear that it's legal to do so. Their frustration at his skills of persuasion and his knowledge of the law is simply remarkable to see. It should be noted that London police, at least when being captured on videotape, behave far more humanely and reasonably than their American counterparts would, given the same circumstances. It's also refreshing to see that London policewoman actually look like women and behave like women versus their American counterparts who have foregone all traces of femininity, having transformed themselves into grotesque wannabe imitators of their steroid-pumping, muscle-bound male cohorts. It's a sad but accurate assessment of the Illuminati's brainwashing of American women, which has used the front of feminism to defeminize them. The worst expression of this defeminization of American womanhood is seen in the appearance and conduct of police women in cities, big and small, across America. Danny and Charlie's creativity goes even further when they announce themselves to foreign tourists as part of the, quote, undercover anti-terrorist team, unquote, asking if they can just take a minute to show their identification in order to prove that they aren't terrorists, and then you can get on your way. The nervous smiles and the what should I do look on the faces of these hapless visitors make it strikingly evident just how far the obey culture has progressed in the past 30 years. When asked by one of these victims, can you show me your identification? Danny breezily replies that they couldn't be very effective as undercover agents if they simply showed their identification card to anyone who asked for it. Now, could we? It seemed perfectly logical to the inquirer, and he demurred, offering no further assistance. I almost fell off the chair. I laughed so hard. These guys are thinking, and they want the sheeple to think as well, and stop caving into authoritarianism and recapture their control over their government and their servants. Danny and Charlie both display tremendous guts when confronting police on these videos. Most people would cave rather than chance being arrested, but Danny holds his ground with agitated British policemen by convincing them that there is no legal justification for arresting him, as he is doing nothing illegal. It seems to win the argument in most instances. His sense of humanity rings out with every word he utters. This is what keeps the police at bay. They know that he's expressing the truth. They know that what he is saying is just and right, and they have no other choice than to back off. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen on YouTube. While their London video clip seemed to begin in June 2009, Danny Shine's blog entry archives go back to May of 2006. I read a few of his earlier commentaries, and I'm greatly impressed by the philosophical depth of his thought and his perceptions. This man is a humanitarian with a capital H. I've embedded some of their videos below, but you can find these and many more at Danny Shine's remarkable website, www.dannyshine.blogspot.com, which identifies itself with the following introduction. This is a blog designed to share the madness of our society, which we call normal. It contains tales of exploration of my relationship with authority as I move towards self-authority. I love these guys. They are exactly what these times call for, a human conscience making itself known in a sea of obedient drones following the scripts and designated roles assigned to them. Those who would gain most from Danny and Charlie's insights are the policemen, the security types, and the military personnel who advance the destructive New World Order agenda on behalf of their illuminated corporate overlords, without realizing the greater destructive impact upon humanity that follows in the wake of their automation roles, or I should say automaton roles. I apologize for that, and that's written by Ken Adachi. Please do yourself a favor. Just click on Ken's website, educate-yourself.org. In the upper left-hand corner at the top of the page, it says Current News. Click on that and scroll down. Oh, about one-third of the way down, and you'll... No, it's a little further than that. I'm on the page. Scroll down about halfway. You'll see some new articles that he's posted, and Everything Is Okay is there. Also, you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com. Just go to the bottom left Breaking Stories link. Click on that, and it'll take you right to Ken's page. I've got to tell you, I watched 8 of these videos. Ken said he watched 18, and every one was better than the one prior to that. So I recommend, if you want to see some answers, if you want to see and be reminded of who we are and the power that we have within and how to tap into that power and pull some strength forward so you can say, no, I'm not taking that vaccine. No, I'm not going to allow you to break the law anymore. No, this is still our country. This is our world. You will be very, very empowered by this. And again, I thank Ellen for sending this link so that we could share it with our Evident Footprints listeners. Tonight, we have with us a special guest. He's been on the show very recently for a number of issues. In particular, we've been talking about the so-called flu pandemic and all the things that are going on, as well as a story that both he and I have been doing our own research on, outside of what anyone else is really reporting about this Hardin, Montana case. And our special guest tonight is going to talk with us about that and some other things. His name is Dr. A. True Ott. True, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be here. I wish you were on a little bit earlier, but that's wonderful.
Well, sometimes I do, too, but, you know, it kind of balances itself out around the planet. We've got people all over the world listening to us.
Oh, that's good news. So, good news.
So it's a pleasure to have you back. Your show on RBN is doing very well. The story behind the story, and I've been on that a couple of times already. I'm very honored that you've had me on that show, and you're also broadcasting on rentsradio.com too.
We are, and yeah, the reviews are pretty doggone good. Everybody seems to be happy with it. We haven't got ourselves in too much trouble yet.
Yeah.
But as always is the case, when you start tugging on Superman's cape, sometimes, you know, it gets a little bit dicey. Today's show was kind of fun. We reported, well, a little bit of conjecture, of course, but not really. There's just a lot of evidence coming our way that there could well be another false flag attack. This one's a major one this coming Sunday. We talked about that on the phone, you and I. You know, it's a equal toss-up as to if this is valid or not, but rather than, you know, we decided to err on the side of caution. You know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about, and just announce this. And if people were in these seven cities, they need to kind of just. I'd recommend taking a weekend vacation, just to be on the safe side.
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to share that. You know, just the week prior to the inauguration in January, we reported some intel information that was coming through that there was a sinister plan to by the Bush administration to allow the nuclear destruction of seven U.S. cities. Now,
really?
You didn't hear about this on the mainstream media, but we know that after the second broadcast on the second night that we had actually had a major impact in them removing nuclear devices from various locations around the country.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I had actually had a vision a year prior to this time, and I had shared this information with a few people, and we were watching, we're just monitoring things, and they had picked up some chatter that this was going to take place. We can impact these things, and so I want to encourage you, if you have information, let's put it out there, because if something happens, we know who's behind it. It's as simple as that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of symbolism in the dates and times, as you know, and it goes back to the cult of ISIS and the whole sun-worshipping cult of Mithras, which is the foundation of Roman Catholicism, actually. People don't like to hear that, but that's just the way it is, you know. So these occultists, utilizing the ancient text of the Kabbalah, which is really you know, the driving force of 33rd degree masonry and just about any type of dark Satanist cult finds a secret out, you find that they really do have a numeric sequence that tells them what to do. They follow it to the letter. Now, whether your guests, your listeners, or you yourself believe in this is irrelevant. It doesn't matter that we believe it or disbelieve it, but rest assured, these Kabbalists do believe it, and they follow it to the letter. With that said, you know, you look at the occultic symbolism of September 11th of 2001, without going into the whole sordid background, the numbers correspond to the number 23, and which again goes into the origins of the pentagram, or five-sided a star, okay, which is the tool to basically punch a hole in the demonic realm and to bring some fear and angst and anxiety into the quantum consciousness of humans. And that's what why this event's happened in September 11th. We're talking about not just America, ladies and gentlemen, but the world was shocked. Well, if you take the numerology of September 11th, 2001, and place it on a mirror, a reverse image, which is basically how, again, these occultists access the demonic fourth dimension, you get something very interesting. You get the reverse of the September 11th is October 11th of 09. You take 09/11 of 01, and then put it in front of a mirror, and what do you get? 11, the 11th day of October, 10/11 of 09. Just reverses. Write it down on a piece of paper, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The 11th of October, then you add that, do the same numerology, and you get the mirror image of 23 or 32, which is the ultimate jumping off point into the 33rd degree. Just not coincidence. I really believe that something is being planned for this Sunday, October 11th, 2009.
Yeah, now they have a penchant for numbers like the number 11 because of the twin concept.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the twin towers at the World Trade Center, which were a big number 11 standing right there in the middle of the World Trade Center for the whole world to see. And it's often shot in movies. This gives us a subliminal acceptance of these symbols, you see, which is why they use it. Now, there is an interesting thing. That I had calculated the numerology of the date itself. 9/11/2001 added up to two sets of numbers, 20 and 21. When added together, they make 41. And you can do the same thing with all the other false flag events that occurred around the world. And you can attribute the second World Trade Center bombing, which was in the lower levels, it came out to a 42. Well, 41 is a number of a president who was in office at that particular time or had a son in office and was pulling the strings. There's a lot of occult symbology, as you already said, behind this. Well, even the Bali nightclub bombing worked out to a 44. Now, what's interesting about that World Trade Center, let's say the parking garage bombing, where they arrested five or six so-called terrorists that carried that out. That event occurred on October 12th, which is celebrated as Christopher Columbus's birthday, as was the Bali nightclub bombing in 2002. That event occurred also on October 12th. So they do have a penchant for certain months, Halloween and all the satanic symbolism in the month of October, again, lends to their black magic and their evil rituals. The month of November is a favorite month to have people die for them. And I found that out going through the genealogy. At least they publish these dates. It doesn't necessarily mean that people actually have died. But Stanley Ann Dunham was one such person. Michael Rockefeller was another one. And over and over and over, grandparents, great-grandparents, you find these dates. Even Madeline Dunham herself was alleged to have died in early November, the day before the election. Although there was some indication that that might have occurred in October, based on his stepsister Maya's proclamation that Madeline Dunham actually died on October 26th. So we have, you know, regardless of what we feel about this, these are things that they use to coordinate their rituals and all the activities that are planned unbeknownst to the majority of us. So it's worth bringing these things out, because if something does happen, you know exactly where to look. And we know bin Laden's been gone since December of 2001, so they can't blame it on him. That's a certainty.
Yeah, you know, there's a strong body of evidence that, again, this is linked to the DynCorp people. I mean, the connections into the Russian mafia, which took possession of these dirty suitcase bombs, the Serbian connection and Serbian/Russian mafia are most definitely tied to this DynCorp monster, this Hydra, that had one of its heads surface right there in Little Hardin, Montana, through the Phoenix symbolism again on the American police force. And don't think for a minute that's not over. They're just, you know, this is a trial balloon to see what they can get away with and where. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 26,000 mercenary employees of DynCorp around the world, and they are very much into recruiting and training mercenary strike forces.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, golly, it would make sense. It would make sense they would be behind this nuke attack to really up the ante to bring in martial law.
Yes. Now, in respect to this Hardin, Montana case, and, you know, we've done some series on this on a variety of shows, and all I can recommend is that folks try to listen to the archives, especially from last week where we did all this. We covered this on Drew Rain's show. We covered this on your show. We covered this on my show and some others. And to tell you the truth, there's a lot of disinformation coming out in the form of email accounts that are intended to make it look like people are passing genuine documents around to the public.
Mm-hmm.
One such document was published on Rumor Mill News, something that you could not get from the Attorney General's office in Montana there, you mentioned. And I find it disturbing that a document replete with spelling errors, typical of intelligence operatives who are not very good at spelling. Evidently, the intelligence that goes into their job classification does not cross over into use of the English language and communication skills. Horrible grammar, misspelled words, typos like crazy. In fact, we have a section of what is intended to appear as a genuine cover sheet from the Attorney General's office, ends in mid-sentence, and then we have this hodgepodge of supposedly transcribed documents. The purpose for that makes no sense other than the fact that they didn't have a genuine document. To me, it stinks to high heaven. And you yourself tried to get a copy of those documents, as I mentioned.
Yeah, I was just told it would be premature for them to get it out to the media.
Mm-hmm.
They confirmed that they are investigating, that they're very concerned on, you know, the precedent this could set in Montana, undercutting the sheriff's department there. The sheriff's department, as I talked to them, were confident that they would be able to withstand this affront. And they were again asking the Attorney General for advice and help there in Helena. And they're bringing him to task. So I think the basic premise of that rumor mill story was accurate. I think it was a where they got that first part, I don't know, but it could just well be a very hasty type of writing, just quick with no proofreading. But I think the basic premise of it is correct, that Attorney General's office is putting the feet to the fire, and Rebecca Shea's feet especially to the fire.
Yeah. Well, not to discount whether or not that that may be happening, I've had my own research transcribed into a so-called five-page letter, which is virtually impossible, and posted on that website, and unsigned, of course. And it was, called a letter from a friend of a friend. Basically, it gave the Barack Obama genealogical synopsis of my research. Of course, it left out many facts and just made declarations as if I got my research from that letter. You understand? It's reverse psychology, intended to malign and defame and slander and libel me as a researcher and a journalist. I dealt with it, and my readers notified them that that it was a complete ripoff of my research, and other researchers and webmasters around the world notified me that this was going on, and made their own commentary about it. So
have a right to be suspicious, and just the name Rumor Mill News. I mean, come on, what is it?
Yeah, yeah,
the gossip column.
Yes. Now, in respect to the, what we called going down the rabbit hole and looking at who these characters are, I now have a Serbian church out of Cincinnati, Ohio, that I can connect to this operation.
Wow.
And the church would give a cover, for funneling money with no problem, or people, for that matter. In fact, while I was doing the California research, I found that there are some major tennis stars who were on the World Tennis Tour, professional tour. Some of these people are in the finals. I found a repeat of this. Now, when I went to the Cincinnati area and was looking at the connections there, I found out that one of the tennis pros is actually on the board of the church, is a president of this organization, and of course, one of the aliases of Mr. Hilton also shows up as a president of the board of this church.
Wow.
So now they're using religion as a cover too. That is an easy way also to peddle children and women and people abducted for, what you discovered with the connections to the sex trade industry. And I'm finding that also as well on my own.
Right.
I've seen it in California, and I'm seeing it through this church connection. This is an outlandish declaration for a lot of people. How dare you say that about a church? But I'm telling you, these are just fronts. And they've been in that area for quite some time. Moved the building around from place to place over the years, settled on something, and they're hip to this in Serbia. They're talking about this on blog sites. They know what's going on, and they know the reputation. Now, I raised the question, and I'd like you to comment on this, Drew, if you would. But just based on the criminal record of the alias Michael Hilton, let me think now. There's so many names. Which one do we want to use? Djokovic. Djokovic is another one. And all kinds of spelling variations in that. There are numerous grand theft charges, prison time, swindles, scams of all types. And connections, by the way, let me tell you, to JPL, NASA, and even Morgan Stanley and a couple of other firms. Merrill Lynch is also mentioned. They're right there in the Santa Ana area of California, where the real estate corruption is massive, probably some of the worst in the whole country. And how is it that the powers that be allow this to occur, unless they play a part in this?
Well, he's got a tremendous record here in Utah for scamming people. I've actually talked to some of his victims, and I told him some of his aliases. They says, "Oh, you forgot what we call him, Michael Somovich." They took him for one couple in Provo, Utah, for $100,000 statue which he built them of. And it's just an incredible thing, and it's just amazing that he does this while obviously working for a subsidiary of DynCorp. You mentioned he's probably doing this on his own, just to raise his own funding privately, not so much as part of the company, but the guy's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. They certainly have to know this, and I would just suspect, I mean, I can only come to the conclusion that this is just massive organized crime, and,
right.
And it's no different from what's going on in Chicago or Washington, D.C., or New York, or Southern California, Hawaii, Seattle, Miami, you name a place, we can connect some dots. And I had even discovered a connection with Baron Pharmaceuticals out of Sunrise, Florida. Now, this starts to open up this door, which allows us to connect this with what's going on with the bird flu and some other whacked out viruses that you've discovered.
Right.
Where would you like to direct this? Because I don't want to keep sounding like an endless loop tape on, you know, what we covered.
Well, I was just, as a hunch, you know, I just went into a search engine patent storm. It just does a searches of all patents based on individuals or companies that have been assigned a patent. And I just went there and typed in this morning, just a DynCorp, DynCorp, and it came up with 26 tied patents, and I just started to look at them and read them, and I'm just like, holy mackerel, this really connects a lot of dots as to what's really going on, even in Hardin, preparatory to medical martial law and the World Health Organization, because obviously DynCorp is tied to Novartis through the Promise Oracle software. The parent company of DynCorp is Veritas Corporation. And I'm telling you, the links I've uncovered for this, for Danny Casolaro's murder, the Cabazon Indian Reservation there in California, all of it starts to mesh together with a clear picture of DynCorp and Veritas. Major, major international crime syndicate, but they've got a lot of money, and their technology now with these patents is stunning. Let me give you an example. International patent number 20060117372. The title is, and I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, this is the title: the system and method for searching for specific types of people or information on a peer-to-peer computer network. In other words, you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever these peer-to-peer networks are. This technology is now patented as of June 1st, 2006, was the date of the patent issue. This is licensed to DynCorp, but it's also been sublicensed to, here's the list: Booz Allen, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Litton, GTE, Textron, Humana Corporation, Halliburton, KBR, Aerospace, Unisys, WorldCorp, Miller Tech, SsangYong, Teledyne, or Subbrainer, have all gotten this system to be able to extract personality profiles, tendency profiles utilizing this computer software. And they basically just track the heck out of you if you use these networks. Amazing. There's a technology there licensed under Dyncorp to begin with. And then we get into these other medical patents. My goodness, here's one licensing the recombinant tryptophan mutants of influenza. In other words, the mutant strains of reverse engineered viruses. They're all patented to Dyncorp. There's one that dated 2003, second one for another recombinant tryptophan mutant of influenza, dated 2005, patent number 6843996, the immunogenic composition comprising an influenza virus with temperature-sensitive PB2 mutation. Now, this is really important, dated 2005, because it maps out what the mutations will do in specific temperature gradients in the human body. There's 20 patents tied to influenza viruses that I've just blew my mind. I mean, these are the very things that answer the questions of where this so-called pandemic influenza virus got all of its gene clade structures going in. It answers the questions completely. Now, what else really struck me is this one that was just issued as of July 14th, 2009, to Dyncorp. Attenuated Deng virus comprising mutations in the N53 gene of the Deng virus. That's Dengue. If you think you want to know about a killer virus used for a weapon, this one is it, Don. The Deng virus is very rare, really, but in certain parts of sub-Sahara Africa, the mosquito does sometimes passes Deng virus. And it's best known as a hemorrhagic fever, and it's called the bone break virus because it causes massive muscle contractions and cramping. They're so violent in nature that bones of the body have been known to crack and break from them. Bone break virus, 100% lethal when it goes in. And now we have this virus mutated and patented as a freaking biological weapon to Dyncorp.
Yeah, now the significance of the patents, obviously, is to make money.
Yes.
You know, one would license this or sell this under license to a manufacturer to be used for what? That would be the question. What would anyone use something like this for?
Well, first of all, to create the pandemic is what they would do, release the pandemic virus, which they surely had means and motive to do so, realizing that, again, Dyncorp is the guy that has had the contract to police the U.S.-Mexican border through Texas and into California, for heaven's sakes, New Mexico, and the whole border is patrolled by Dyncorp affiliates through Immigration and Customs, ICE, the Division of Homeland Security. Homeland Security contracted with Dyncorp. So the stations on in the Mexican side of the border of Dyncorp's, you can trace where these where the virus came through that center at the heart of that, right, following again Obama's meeting with them for security purposes. They provided the security for Obama's visit to Mexico a week before the outbreak. Most definitely a means, motive, and opportunity is there with Dyncorp.
Yes. Now, you mentioned Booz Allen, or some refer to the company as Booz Allen Hamilton.
Yes.
Out of McLean, Virginia. And in my 9/11 research, I found that Booz Hamilton, or Booz Allen Hamilton, was likely involved in that, as did David Hawkins and Field McConnell, the forensic researchers and forensic economists who have pieced together all these false flag events, who made the money. They mentioned Sidley Austin. You have a connection to Chicago because of Edwin Booz. He went to the University of Northwestern. Is it any coincidence that Bernadine Dorn is teaching at Northwestern? I mean, this is a communist junta, or socialist, communist, socialist, fascist junta that was formed together through these universities. University of Chicago being another one, and these military industrial contractors are involved at every state. Booz Allen specializes in information technology, systems engineering, modeling and simulation, program management, staff augmentation, and they're working with what they call pure systems integrators and defense contractors such as SAIC, BAE Systems, and Lockheed Martin. And it goes on. There are more. It's no surprise that they would be involved in a project like this, and the connection with DynCorp and all these other massive pharmaceutical companies keep popping up in my research. I can't get away from it. Doctors, obstetricians, and gynecologists right there in Southern California, living in properties that appear to be owned by Hilton. And I'm using that name to honor his desire to be like Conrad Hilton of hotel fame. Mm-hmm. Apartment complexes, plazas, all kinds of businesses. And then this connection with this rather large church, which gives them a tax-free status, gives them the ability to send people back and forth overseas. Under the guise of religion. So there's a lot to be alarmed about here in this. And what I'm noticing more than anything, no one seems to be willing to write the things that you and I are talking about right now. This information's not going into these articles, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, the culprit, as far as I've been able to find out with the motive for the September 11th attacks, you know, the activities of one Dov Zakheim needs to be, you know, talked about as well. Here we have this dual Israeli U.S. citizen of licensed rabbi placed by George W. As the comptroller general of the Pentagon. And not even 8 months into his watch, the General Accounting Office noticed some very strong irregularities, and they did an audit and found over as much as $2.7 trillion, ladies and gentlemen, that came up missing from the Pentagon's budget sheets, which again prompted a full-scale SEC investigation trying to verify where these assets went. The hot trail, of course, led to the Israeli nation of Israel, and the investigation, as I've been able to piece together, was centered at the SEC offices of World Trade Center Building 7.
Oh yes,
of course. All
yes,
of that.
I did my own financial work on some of what occurred on 9/11 just by tracing. One victim of Flight 11. In fact, I found this victim still alive and still very much at work. And this was Daniel Lewin from MIT. And there's, you know, the SEC is part of this corruption as well. It's visible in their documents. If anyone knows how to read any kind of a disclosure in a stock portfolio, you can definitely trace billions of dollars going in the wrong direction, being
right.
Divvied up after Levine's alleged demise. Actually, his name was Lewin, but his parents' name is Levine, and I found him using the name Levine.
Uh-huh.
And again, I can connect him with people all the way up to Henry Kissinger, just by association. So you have this company formed in Washington. Very few people have heard this name other than on this show, and that's Homeland Security Investments. And they answer to Henry Kissinger's Kissinger and Associates in New York.
Wow.
So, you know,
we have just have Dov Zakheim. As soon as the smoke clears and the report on 9/11 was issued by, again, Kissinger wanted to head that, but there was such a public outcry that it didn't matter. He was behind the scenes pulling the curtains anyway, pulling the strings. But we have Dov Zakheim leaving the Pentagon under a cloud, of course, but taking a high-paid executive vice president position with Booz Allen Hamilton, which he's still at today. Systems Planning Corporation, the company he was president of before taking the Pentagon post, has one of the claims to fame is a system to basically turn the jetliner into a targeted weapon. There's a remote control robotics that are placed in the aircraft. Much more plausible explanation for the pinpoint accuracy of those jet airliners hitting the specific spots on the WTC towers by means of System Planning Corporation's remote control jet systems than an untrained pilot, you know, going and flying it into that area.
Or at the least, just remote control of a number of planes through that global hawk system.
Planning Corporation is that they're basically built these as a on all commercial jetliners as a deterrent against hijacking. If you, Don Nikoloff, went into a Southwest Airlines jet and smuggled in somehow some kind of gun or something and hijacked the plane, you wouldn't get very far because Systems Planning Corporation's robotics would basically take away the controls from the pilot, and that would be explained to the hijacker. Look, it's out of my hands, literally. Look what its stick is doing.
So
the whole thing is just another little untalked about, way underreported motive for the 9/11 attacks to begin with.
Yeah. Well, considering that the 9/11 event itself, by the date, going back to what we talked about at the outset of the show, and the numerology being used, it was a 41, okay? Booz Allen Hamilton is owned primarily by, or let's say the majority owner of Booz Allen Hamilton is the Carlyle Group. Now, who do you know in the Carlyle Group? Family?
Yeah, the Bushes and Carlucci and the rest of the gang.
So is it an accident that that number turns out to be a 41? Is it an accident that there may be something about to occur on Sunday the 11th of this month? Something catastrophic compared to what happened on 9/11.
Right. You know, and you combine that with, of course, the pandemic flu raising its head and vaccines. Now, get this. The Novartis vaccine and even the MedImmune attenuated viruses, they have to come from some medium. They have to be basically created by means of a master cell culture. We find dated back in 1999, patent number 591-1998, a method of producing a virus vaccine from an African green monkey kidney cell line. And we research in Novartis's a document for their this pandemic flu vaccine. That's exactly how this so-called swine flu virus is a virus line is produced through African green monkey kidney cells. That's in the literature submitted to the WHO. and in the fine print of their product circular. So there's the link again to DynCorp and the master vaccine. Even the MedImmune nasal spray has got to get that virus from some source, and it comes from DynCorp through the African green monkey kidneys. Now, the problem you have with that is there's all sorts of other simian mutated viruses that are tied into those kidney cells. You talk about creating some major death and disease worldwide through these monkey cell kidneys. You better believe this is part of it.
Yes. I got an IM about something that occurred back on June 1st. There was a missile launched at a plane that was flying over Houston on that date. Do you remember hearing anything about that in the mainstream media?
No.
No. Kind of interesting how these things just happen to happen on their own accord. And you know, we've covered the issue of these false flag events, these tontine contracts. And it's very likely if an area is going to be targeted, even with a flu pandemic, that there is insurance money at play somewhere behind the scenes of the secret policies on the citizens that have no idea that these policies are being held. And so it behooves them to make an attack on a focused area, on a concentrated metropolitan area where they know that if they know where it's going to occur and how it's going to occur, they can unleash whatever they want. And in the case of orchestrated vaccinations and whether they're done with these inhalers, for instance, I saw something on the news this evening where they were showing a whole line of people sitting down and rubber-gloved medical personnel were issuing these nasal vaccines. Now, we don't know that those were real, but I found it very interesting that no one was wearing any kind of a mask as far as those that were administering these nasal sprays. It seems to me that just to spray it in that way has got to really be dangerous, that certainly there's got to be some escape of this in the atmosphere. And you've brought forth the live virus this is just pure insanity, what's going on. They're offering free shots in some places or discount shots at drugstores. And they're starting to pump the importance of having this before we get too far into the flu season, even though they've been beating this drum during the spring, summer, and fall so far this year, that this is inevitable, that it's going to happen. It's obviously planned, yet it's not sinking in with the majority of people. Well, why is that, in your opinion?
The majority of people are just flat-out brain dead, and they're not thinking about it. They just don't want to think about it, or just have been so totally brainwashed that they can't see it. And that's the reality of it. My show today, my guest host was April Renee from the Vaccine Injury Coalition of Florida, and we basically brought out the points that if you've had these mass vaccinations and continue to take seasonal vaccines every year with the thimerosal and mercury structures, the bottom line is your frontal lobes and amygdala structures of the brain, where it's the cognitive reasoning centers of the human brain, just cannot function correctly any longer. And so when the amygdala is damaged, the frontal lobes, you will not see the total picture. You're not able to. You're not able to make the discernment of A plus B plus C plus D equals E or F.
Yeah. Well, it's certain to me, especially after watching Danny and Charlie on their YouTube videos of Everything is Okay, you really have to watch that for just an uplifting experience. And and the realization that there is something that you can say, something that you can do. They make some really interesting points. For instance, they were on one of the subway trains, and they had their megaphone, and they were announcing that this was the everything is okay car, and that if you were reading the newspaper and depressed, then you should find your way to another car. Be a responsible citizen and keep a stiff upper lip and carry out the bidding of your masters. It's now, and then they made sort of a very funny reference to the swine flu, and said that there's now evidence that it's communicable just by looking at someone. It can jump from one person to the other just through the eyesight. And you have to hear this, because they're not making fun of it so much. They're pointing out how ridiculous the fear mongering is, and the lying, for that matter. But the people are sitting there listening. He actually got them to applaud people coming on the train, people leaving the train. Got a 2.5-year-old boy to respond to what he was saying. I mean, you know, people can wake up if they're given the opportunity, if they're shown something else other than this repeated mantra of fear, and you have to do this, that your health is at stake, when in reality, that's an oxymoron. Your health is at stake if you take this vaccine. Untested, and certainly if any lab results were brought forth, they would be fudged, I'm sure.
Right, it's at the very least it's an immunosterilization ploy, but I think it's spreading the seeds of a much more deadly condition later in life, as well as immunosterilization. Now we can talk another whole hour show on that, the ties to that, and how on May 5th of this year, the Billionaires Club, headed by George Soros and Bill Gates and other moguls, actually met and made an ultimatum statement that the overpopulation of humans on the planet Earth is the single greatest threat to the continuation of this planet. And so they basically said that response, whether or not governments approve or not, they would do it on their own and seek to force sterilize whole segments of the world's population, including the West, including the United States. Well, that report is not on any, was not given by Alex Jones or any alternative media. No, this was mainstream Los Angeles Times article, Sunday the 24th. They reported on this agenda and verified the reports as being accurate and genuine. So the question then becomes, listeners, okay, this Los Angeles Times and the London Times both reported on this, and it's a fact that they seek to sterilize the human herd, as they call it. The question becomes, how are they going to get away with that, with such a sterilization by means of vaccination here in America? Are they going to have sterilization, forced vaccination sterilization clinics by law to go to? Now, there'd be a revolution like this world never seen with that. Of course there wouldn't. They wouldn't be doing that. But I submit it's the cover of the foul, false epidemic pandemic that they're doing it. This vaccine has all of the earmarks of being an immunosterilization vaccine.
Yeah. Now they're recommending that pregnant women get these shots, and yet I was just sent a link to an article that Fox News put out that there are some 100 women who have been admitted with the swine flu. 28 of them are pregnant women and have died. you know, but we don't get any names to associate with these numbers, you know, to know that that this is really happening. And I sense that unless someone's gotten a vaccine under the pretense of protecting them from getting it, that's exactly why they died.
Right. Well, just in our local newspaper here in Ogden, it State Health Department here said even if you may have had the so-called swine flu this summer, you don't you should go still get your swine flu vaccination. I kid you not. The article goes on to say the reason for this is because even though you may have been diagnosed as having the swine flu by your doctor, it could easily just been a summer seasonal flu and not the swine flu, because we didn't really test you to make sure that you had the swine flu. But yet this all went into this national and thus international database. So how accurate is this whole thing in the first place? It's insanity.
Yes, I'm certain of that, and we agree, and I know many of our listeners do. The people that are concerned with this issue of having to take a shot, and we're hearing all these different things that now they have these in place. They're ready to start, mandating this program. And we have these diversions going on the side, and all of this is a big diversion over the money laundering and the massive corruption that's going on another level. Yet this is appearing to be a reality. We know that there's a very strong likelihood that this is also being sprayed into the environment. They do have the means through which to do it. They've been doing it with chemtrails for years. Since 1995 in the state of Colorado, and they started spraying in Ohio on September 12th, 2001, right after 9/11. And the ruse of the X's in the skies was they had checked that part of the area for terrorists and therefore didn't see any terrorists. Now, you tell me how a pilot in an F-16 or some commercial flight crisscrossing in the United States or going from one city to another knows what a terrorist looks like from that high up. Come on. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Yet they've got everybody on mainstream media putting these lies out there. And then they discuss this on talk shows, that this is real, that this is what they're actually doing up there. And we know that that's not the case. How would you comment on the possibility that this is being spread also into the environment?
Well, viruses are tough to send out through aerosols, Don. I think what's happening with the chemtrails, personally, is they're immunodepressors that make you much more susceptible to some very adverse results with the flu. But what is coming out of laboratories of the CDC and the announcements, I have the studies and I posted them with my writings. They took the Mexican swine flu and the California version of it, which is a little bit of close to the same, but slightly mutated differences. And they tried to get to gauge the rate of submissibility from host to host with normal channels of airborne particles, did it through the testing ferrets, and the report showed that there were virtually zero transmissibility factors with this virus, which is, to me, a huge smoking gun. How in the world did this ever get to be a pandemic stage in the first place if it's not transmissible through normal, like seasonal flu vaccines or viruses are transmitted? So it obviously had to come from some other medium, namely the same way they gave it to the test ferrets, and that's an inoculation needle, vaccination needle. I submit this was given as part of some seasonal flu injections to a certain group of people in Mexico and in San Diego. That's the only logical thing. So, making this a part of of the chemtrail issue. There's really no way scientifically that viruses can survive outside of a host. They have a half-life of minutes at best. Even attenuated viruses that are spread through the MedImmune spray. When you're shedding viruses, these viruses, once they're outside of the host, you better catch them within 20 minutes or they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, they still do. I mean, transmissibility factors through the MedImmune spray, who knows? There's no studies to verify that. It could be that these live viruses that are shed just don't come into another host easily. But but we don't know.
Well, I do suspect that certainly they could spray at night. They could spray over a field with a bunch of cattle or horses or other animals, sheep, pigs, any farm, domestic animals that are out in the field.
Well, sure, but don't get confused with this virus versus, the bacillus like anthrax and hoof and mouth disease. You bet those bacillus live very, very hardy, and the aerosol spraying of those most definitely survive large amounts. But viruses are pretty doggone fragile things.
Yeah.
You have to have them through like a mosquito bite or a direct injection to really be effective.
Something that goes right into the bloodstream.
Exactly.
Now, you being a naturopath and knowing a lot of people in the medical community, but possibly many who work in hospitals, there seem to be a lot of stories coming out. I'm hearing this from a lot of people, and I know others that are hearing the same thing, that people are going into the hospital maybe with bronchitis or a respiratory infection. And this might just be a general neighborhood clinic, a free clinic or some place that they provide emergency services in the middle of the night, and maybe are a more affordable or cost-effective way for somebody to get some kind of medical attention. And they're pretty much in any of, what I've been hearing is that any of the lung disorders, any kind of flu whatsoever is being called the swine flu.
All right.
Now, you're hearing that as well, I presume.
Well, just right in the newspaper. Again, the cat's out of the bag. Oh, well, just because you were sick with this, it's called the swine flu, doesn't mean it was the swine flu. Now they're saying this just to, again, to have people that were sick this summer come in and take the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's absolutely, I've said this from day one, how can they tell how many people have died from this? When it's a very complex test to tell what exactly the virus is, and it's a very expensive test and very limited to the facilities that can produce it. So when you have, say here in Utah, 200 so-called diagnoses of the swine flu, you talk to the doctors involved, and they basically have been told, if you have symptom A, B, C, D, E this month in the summertime, label it the swine flu and tell them that's what they've got, and that's the statistical reality.
Yes. Now, one might think, okay, other than the date of October the 11th, that happens to fall on a Sunday, and here we are approaching the sixth week. That will be the sixth week of, the fifth week of NFL football games. And maybe even some college games. I don't know that many colleges actually have their games on Sunday unless for whatever reason they might be.
Very few do.
Yeah. Or it could be Saturday, Sunday, something along that line. But you have a mass of people anywhere from, let's say, 70,000 and up, depending if it's some college stadiums hold over 100,000 people. So you could easily infect a whole group of people right there in a closed, somewhat closed-in environment. It would have to be an open-air stadium. But that's something to consider. Why, you just have to ask. I mean, this is beyond even imagining that, that anyone would do this to their own kind. The only thing you can deduce is that they're not the same kind.
Well, the biological warfare is a stealth type of thing. It's not so much a terrorist tool as a socioeconomic molding tool. To get the martial law declared, obviously, the swine flu is not going to do it, Don.
Yeah.
There's enough outrage now. I think we've raised the alarm so strongly that the states are just saying, well, we'll have it be completely by choice. And even that choice, according to the latest survey polls, is down to as much as 20% of the people will say they'll get the vaccine. Well, so there has to be some other method now of creating this martial law. And it's going to be, I think, this nuke attack. It makes the most sense. You know that they've had the capabilities with these suitcase bombs. They just haven't gone forward with the full-fledged Monty.
Yes.
But
well,
I think it's going to change, though. I do. All of the props are in place. The actors have got their costumes on. The stage and the set is all ready to go. Now, will they just have the courage to pull the curtain up?
Well, what does one say at that? You know, we can only hope and pray that some information comes through. Often it's of a spiritual nature, I have to tell you. It's been my experience, and not just with me. I'm shown something. I'm made aware that something is going to occur on another level.
Right.
And
right.
And then I'm contacted by people through mutual friends that or I'm directed to something where someone is independently coming up with exactly the same information, again from a spiritual plane, and we can't discount that because we have been right many times. We've been right, you know, we have to trust that there is a God, there is a prime creator that is not going to allow some of these things to occur. But we do have to take action. We do have to speak about this, and we do have to make people aware. Not for the purpose of creating fear. There are several talk show hosts that have made a career of doing that.
Right. What we want to do is expose it to, like I said on my show tonight, Don. If anybody's listening that has ties to the lettered agencies, FBI, CIA, NSA, what have you, now you know that we know and predicted this. So all I can tell you is make sure it stopped. You have to know if this is being planned or not. Are you going to follow through with it and let it happen? Or are you going to make the necessary communications and potential arrest to expose this thing as even the conspiracy to commit mass murder in this method is a felony crime. You don't have to be successful in it to make it a crime.
Yeah.
You just
That's
have to
been
plan
my,
it.
My point all along, hasn't it? I've really harped on this. That you know, it's like solicitation to commit murder. And certainly somebody has coordinated this, and they've gotten these laboratories to produce these devices to be the same as somebody that made a bomb or somebody that was manufacturing ammunition and taking pot shots at helpless people while they're standing at gas stations or in lines in grocery stores or just
exactly.
Caring about their business.
Right.
There's got to be accountability for all of this stuff. And what are your thoughts on that? You know, what are some things that you'd like to see people do to have an impact?
Well, I think we've pretty much identified the culprits here, the conspirators, and the very fact that Montana, the government, is fully investigating this chameleon. I'm sure that if they dig deep enough, they'll uncover DynCorp connections, and just hopefully they'll tie it in to what we just talked about tonight, these lab viruses that have been created, and DynCorp has the patents on them. So motive is definitely there, opportunities there, and the means is most definitely there. They have the technology to do this. It's in the patents. So let's just see what it's in the matter of the law enforcement at this point.
Yes. Well, I don't mean to keep you up all night, Drew. I appreciate you coming on the show. It was short notice, but we're going to have you on some more this month, and I suppose I'll be on your show again one day.
Yes, indeed. There's always room for honest researchers on my show.
Well, do you have a closing statement you like to leave with the audience? Any websites you encourage them to look at for any new information that they may want to check out for themselves?
Just go to a Patent Storm website. You might have to register with them to get the information, but it's a free registration if they just want to track and tell DynCorp who's looking at their web patents, perhaps. But anyway, you can just go in there and just type in the search engine, DynCorp, DynCorp. You'll get 26 hits, as I have done, and then just start scanning the abstracts, if nothing else, of those patents. I'm sure it'll drop your jaw. It did me. I didn't have a clue they were doing this in this depth of corruption with these vaccines. The link is definitely there. I like to call them, they're not DynCorp, they're DynCorp. They're a corporation of dying, creating dying conditions for people. The connections they have to the slave, sex slave trade is just like watching the movie Taken with Liam Neeson. I think that whole movie script was taken from the published accounts now of whistleblower Ben Johnston in 1999, where he, blew the whistle on this massive sex slave peddling. Same story. Serbia contacts it's just not a coincidence that movie mirrors that real life DynCorp study. Reality. So, the bottom line is it's still ongoing. They haven't curtailed it at all, as far as I can see. In fact, if anything, it's greatly expanded. So awareness is important, preparing yourself spiritually as well as emotionally for the coming times, and praying, getting on your knees and offering prayers of intercession to the unseen angels and those that are can protect us, and I do think there's a better than 50-50 chance that this Sunday is going to change the world unless intercession's made.
Yes. So, now, I don't know if you're aware that Miss Becky Shea appears to have resigned her job with American Police Force in Hardin, Montana.
Right. I left her a couple messages on her voicemail last week, and I said, I'm assuming you'll be looking for employment, hope you can get your own job back. If you disagree with this, call me. She never called me. So yeah, that's good. I thought she was a person of integrity, but she was blinded by the light of a big money and a nice shiny Mercedes SUV.
Yeah, well, the underlying question that I've had on each show I've done with you, with Drew Raines, and even on my own show with a variety of guests over the past couple of weeks now, I actually have about 7 hours of research into this, which has opened up just trunks full of new stuff. Forget about Pandora's box. And I have to say that so many high-level bureaucracies know about this. The only conclusion that I can draw is that this is all organized crime. and that there's no intention to really do anything about this. I would hope that that's not true, that that's not the case, that the right thing will be done in Montana, and that we keep putting our research out there and getting the word out there, that people will pay attention to what we are saying and avoid all the hype and the spin that's going along with this, because what has appeared on video and news broadcasts up there in the Montana area is talking about this, but they're not giving the side which is revealing what you and I are talking about.
I would like to see if get Ms. Shea on my talk show again and just see her story behind the story of why she resigned, and then just let her know what I have found out and see what her comments are. There's no doubt that that is tied to DynCorp. I called DynCorp's police training section, asked them about job opportunities in the Montana area, and they referred me to the Hardin facility. So at the very least, they're networked. But no, the connection to Serbia and all of that proves it's DynCorp.
Yeah, and there, as I mentioned earlier, the people in Europe, especially in that area, know quite a bit about this. They're familiar, and you know, they've made statements. Basically, I mean, this is not directed to all Serbians, but certainly they know that the Serbs in organized crime are not capable of writing a check that can be covered.
And exactly.
They were referencing that element of crime that they're familiar with there in their own country. So we're not talking about something that is exclusive to the United States. This is going on in different parts of the world. And certainly the network goes across this country, and it goes to the highest places, the highest offices in the land. There are connections. That's no stretch of the imagination whatsoever. I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh, absolutely, yep. Yep, nothing happens by chance, and I'm confident that the big new Brzezinski and Kissinger are just madder than hornets at how this is playing out in Montana. They had no idea that this would, the citizenry would come out and do what they're doing, and I'm just applauding it in the hope that our efforts have helped us along the way in some way.
Yeah, I intend to focus on bringing out the names of these other companies behind the scenes that actually built this place and are involved in other such facilities around the country, because if they're doing this here, there's a likelihood that it'll happen somewhere else.
And of course, it will be under the umbrella of that the DynCorp in Houston and their subsidiaries there. I mean, this is the octopus that we're talking about. And these correctional facilities are very definitely part of their strategy for research.
Yes. Okay, True. Well, we're out of time. Yeah. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I look forward to your next interview here on Evident Footprints. I wish you the best of success with your radio show. I want to encourage the listeners to tune into Republic Broadcasting Network every Monday through Friday. It airs, they go by Central Time there in Round Rock, and that's from 1 to 3 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Central Time.
Central Time would be, later. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 to 3 or 2 to 4 Eastern and 11 to 1 Pacific.
Pacific Time. You got it.
Yes. Okay, very good. Thanks for being on the show. I wish you the best. Keep up the great work, and we'll be listening to your show.
Well, thanks, Don, and you be sure and travel safely this week, okay?
Yes. Everywhere I go, I travel safely.
Very good. God bless and be with you.
You too. Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Dr. A. True Ott. And you may have a look also at pandemicfluonline.com. That's a great resource of information about this what we're calling a hoax. Obviously, we've alluded to the fact that these viruses are being manufactured, and as far as the vaccination, there's overwhelming evidence that this is what's going to make you sick. We'll be talking about this more in days to come, and I have a chat message for an explanation on the mirror image of 9/11. Just write out 9/11/2001 and then reverse it. The numerology works out to October the 11th, which is this coming Sunday. And so you may want to have a look at that. Anyway, we'll try to get into that in our next show. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying this show. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. And join us again tomorrow night for a great show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.